Okay, made you guys wait another extra week. Sorry about that. Kind of a cool one today, a little different. I wanted to introduce you guys to a couple young and enterprising film buffs and pop culture buffs, David Lester and Anthony Kudari. I wanted to get into, you know, some of those topics that with them, film and pop culture and, you know, just different generational things. I wanted to let them defend themselves a little bit as well. And I want to see how this goes. I want to see what you guys think about it, because I'd like to have them have their own show. And we get really heavy into film. That's what they're into, and TV a little bit. And I want you guys to check it out. Let me know what you think, and we'll get them out there more. So we're going to start a little something different here, and hope you guys enjoy it. I have David Lester and Anthony Kudari. Guys, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. No problem. I wanted to have you guys here. We've been talking about this for a little bit, just to kind of get a different perspective on some topics where maybe I really can't hit. And you guys are super into movies and super into, you know, different styles of film and obviously pop culture. And you guys have given me feedback throughout some of my episodes about the unfair treatment that maybe I'm giving the millennials. And I want you guys to open up to that, too, to defend yourselves. And I've come around. I think it's getting better. But I hope that, you know, people listening enjoy you guys. I enjoy talking to you guys, and I enjoy everything you guys say, you know, when we're having good, you know, conversations. And for everyone listening, I hope you guys enjoy it, too. So, David, Anthony, I'm going to check out. I'll chime in here and there, but this is guest host of the Sal Mena Show, episode 14. So welcome aboard, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, thank you.
So, I mean, basically, you know, before we started, we were talked about a bunch of different things. And, you know, one of the things that struck me was, David, you're going to what you would consider a trade school, mm-hmm. at the Motion Picture Institute. And Anthony, you're going to Oakland University. So kind of two different routes of continuing education. Sean and I have touched on this before, where we thought that the high schools are doing an injustice on doing away with trades, and they should start introducing them back. But I don't know about film being a trade. I mean, I consider that more of an art, and obviously the internet has opened up so much opportunity for that art to become lucrative.
Yep.
And is it competitive? Like you'd see in a college setting, getting into some of the bigger universities? Is it more laid back? What does that look like?
I mean, it's competitive. Like, the whole job is very competitive.
You got a bunch of people wanting to be filmmakers.
Everyone wants to go into film. You don't even need to go to film school. You can. Tarantino didn't go to film school. He worked at
a video store. California.
He just studied movies and he made movies. He got lucky.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I mean, we're talking where he doesn't even have the advantages that, you know, we do now.
That's right.
With the, you know, the YouTubes, mm-hmm. and the, you know, being able
they
to
still
have
had film back then. Now we have digital. You can edit yourself, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. all stuff.
Which is a huge plus, but I definitely think, you know, hats off to those guys that kind of led the way, like a Tarantino, like mm-hmm. you said. That it's funny because he's not, you know, we're so many years past Pulp Fiction, and we're so many years past Reservoir Dogs, that he's kind of fallen off the map. And you're making way for, you know, your 38th superhero movie of the summer.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about.
And, you know, which is great. The studios are making money hand over fist, and they have to recoup because, you know, here's Hulu and Netflix and everybody else making their original shows and movies, and, you know, Amazon as well, where they're going to lose market share. Yeah. And I think it's up to you guys to kind of maybe take advantage of that for sure. And what are they? I mean, the curriculum when I was in college is obviously, you know, a lot different than it is now. You know, I went to school, everybody knows I went to school for journalism, and it's completely different now than it was then. And the curriculum you guys are following, is it more traditional, where it's like an intro to this, an intro to that, and then like this is the, or is it, do you guys kind of follow your, you know, pick your path that you want to look at, and then focus on that, or do you get the whole broad spectrum?
For our first three semesters, we got a mix of everything, and it was very hands-on. It's not like a normal school. Like, if you go to a normal four-year film school, you get a degree. The first 2 years, you're pretty much just learning the study of it, and I'm learning everything you learn 4 years and 1 year, mm-hmm. compacted to it.
So it's not like theory of it?
No, you do learn theory of it, but you're applying it. We work on set. We get internships. We actually do a lot more work than you do in 4 years.
And what you're going to Oakland, Anthony, and what are you going for? General studies?
Yeah. My major is finance. That's what I'm studying.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, that's a contrast, but that's the route you chose, which is great because, you know, I went to school and I got my degree in public relations, and that's a major, perhaps, that doesn't have as much opportunity as finance. I think, you know, finance, business administration, accounting, and those majors that you go to school for, education, things like that, those are the ones that are going to stick. Where you have to be careful where the new wave, where, again, people are doing this all on their own, where you don't need your classic study. But in finance, where you're going to have to go through your gen ed requirements because that's what the university wants and stuff like that.
I remember my second year, I just got, I'm starting my core classes right now. So I just knocked out all the gen eds right now. That's what they had you do. Now you got to actually do the business courses, and that's when it gets tough. You know?
Were you at Oakland the whole time?
Yeah.
So you got to do so like that's why me. I started, yeah. I went to Eastern for 2 years. I went home with my tail between my legs and a 2.1 GPA, but lots of life experience. And then I got into my core classes at Wayne State and, graduated with a 3.0. Just short of Dean's List, and you know, it was definitely like, wow, I never knew. Because in high school, I was not much for school either. Okay. I was definitely much for, okay, I got my 3 hours in, so I'm eligible to play this Friday, so I'm out of here. You know, and that's what I wanted to do. You know, I feel like the grandfather just telling stories. You guys, I want you guys to enlighten me on what it's like now. I mean, like, as far as the film school and everything. Do you study different styles, or do you guys just basically encourage to follow your own?
We've studied a bunch of different styles of Tarantino, obviously, Spielberg, all the very great... I don't pronounce his name
Spielberg,
too well.
Spielberg.
I don't pronounce his name right, but yes. Every great director, study all the styles.
I feel like that's something you need, you know, you need to, for knowledge, you need to know the knowledge of film history and stuff like that if you want to be a director, you know. There's a lot of people that don't, you know, and they're not knowledgeable about the film. It's like, how are you going to succeed when you don't know about it? So that's kind of how I kind of...
Well, because also, too, it's like if you look at basketball and, you know, how that's evolved. You know, a lot of these, the newer players, the newer superstars, they know their history. And, you know, I'm not the biggest LeBron James guy as a person, but what I will respect... you're young. You don't know any better.
Oh, yeah?
LeBron James.
So what I respect about him is that he knows his history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now it's a shooter's game where all these players coming out of, you know, AAU and going into college and stuff like that, you know, you don't have those guys on the block anymore.
That's right. Not post-up. It's just about the three.
And they're evolving. But at the same time, they know that it was the, you know, the Chamberlains and the Russells and the McHales and the Parrishes and those guys sitting on the block.
Hakeem.
But if you're, you know, Olajuwon sitting on the block, you know, and those guys, but now it's a shooter's game and the game's basically played, you can't even say inside out, it's outside out. You know, we just got off the NBA Finals and those guys weren't looking to have the ball for longer than 10 seconds and they were looking to pull. And, you know, as an evolutionary thing, you kind of have to respect where it was with a Spielberg or a Scorsese and a Tarantino to where in the directions it's going now. I like it both, but I do like the newer styles, like the Netflix movies and stuff. They don't take themselves as serious. And I think that's great. And, you know, follows up with my, you know, type of humor that
Well, actually, Scorsese is making a new movie for Netflix exclusively.
Oh, see, that's...
So it's starting to go that route now.
Okay. Well, they eventually understand. They understand the studios probably don't have as much swing as they do, and you know, we get into the discussion about the millennials again. Here I am. You guys are cutting the cord, so you're not having your HBOs and Cinemaxes and you know, Turner Movies and things like that. So you're wired. You're wireless. You're with your Netflix and everything. So that's the way it's going. And if these guys want to keep up. A Scorsese, for sure, they're going to have to turn to Netflix. Yeah.
I say in like 10 years, there'll be no more cable. It'll be all live streaming.
Well, ESPN suffers. I mean, every month you hear someone else tweet like, oh, ESPN lost so many subscribers this month, so many subscribers this month. And that's because, again, you know, like, you know, Anthony accepted. He seems to be a big sports guy.
Just Tom Brady.
There's not. That's my dude. You're welcome to my house anytime. there's not a huge want for live sports anymore. And I tried it too. You know, we got that guy at work that always like, hey, you got to get this, you know, the box, the Google box or the Firebox, and, you know, load everything up. And I need live sports. Right. I need to grab my remote and I need to know that the game's on Fox and it's not going to buffer. But if you're not into that and you know, you can pick up anything and just go and, you know, pay your little, like, the bite size plans.
I don't do the record and then watch it after. That's not really my thing. Yeah.
So I have to.
Yeah, I know you because you work on specific days, but yeah, it's not really my thing.
Right. Yeah. I wish
but that style, that on-demand style is what it is. You know, when you guys take off, like I said, you know, if I want to watch Stranger Things, I don't have to be in front of a TV at 11 o'clock or whatever time they would start it, which is great. Hats off to the developers of Netflix and all these online services, because it's very enterprising, and they see the vision, and, you know, hats off. They're probably your guys' age bracket.
That's right, yeah.
Facebook's starting to do that too now that they're doing like a Netflix type of thing. So it's all going that way.
Well, you almost think to yourself, like, well, how much more innovation is there left? And, you know, and then you're just blown away by something else. And, but you got a copycat too.
Yeah.
Instagram
stories.
Instagram. Yeah. Right. Story. Now they have far surpassed Snapchat.
That's right.
Like, people, like, they don't talk about it like they used to anymore because Instagram stories are more user friendly, and, you know, more of their, you know, pop culture icons are using Instagram, which is great. Yeah. And they just copied Snapchat. You know, thank you, Snapchat, for the platform. We'll take it from here.
That's right. I mean, everything is pretty much just copying, even with movies. Same thing. Retelling the same stories.
Yep.
People pay money to see it.
What's the most original film you've seen? Like the last film you've seen that made you say, wow, that was a pretty original script?
Silence.
Silence was, yeah.
It's an art house film. Yeah. It's not like the
new
typical
Scorsese
movie.
One that came out last winter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for everyone. It was like 2.5 hours.
It was like,
almost
3 hours long,
It wasn't your typical.
It was funny. Right when we walked out, the guy gets up and goes, "This was no Wolf of Wall Street," and he was like, "Matt, what did you expect?"
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, going into Wolf of Wall Street, you know what you're gonna get. Mm-hmm. But if you had, it's hard, like you said. There's so many rehashes and reboots and remakes and things like that. And we joked earlier about the 7,000 superhero movies coming out this summer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys watching film and stuff like that. Does that encourage you to say, or does that motivate you guys to say, like, I want to make a difference, or you especially, David, can, you know, like, I want to make a difference, I want to be able to do something else. And, you know, Anthony, does that leave you like,
well, for me, it's, I want to see something, you know, new. I don't want to see these many, as great as they are, the superhero movies, they just keep busting them out. It's like, come on, we get sick of it.
You know?
It's the same thing, the villain, over the top climax, the, you know.
Cameos by the other ones.
Like,
you're
Stan
basically,
Lee's
Stan Lee. That guy's been in more movies than anybody.
I know.
Just because he appears in every one of his, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but you're right. And these guys, again, these big studios, they have the responsibility to sell movie tickets, sell merchandise, sell advertising.
It's a
business.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they market the right way.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a time that I don't turn on the TV and I see a Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to see it no matter
what. You see those trailers.
Yeah, sliding them right in there.
Yeah, because
you know there's dads with their sons or their daughters or whatever watching the NBA Finals, and then that commercial comes on, like, oh, Dad, I want that T-shirt. Oh, Dad, I want the mask. And like, oh, yep, got to go to Target and buy that. So a director like that, someone that's like a Christopher Nolan or somebody that does those movies, are they selling out?
Not Christopher Nolan.
His movies are still art.
You know, he's been making it like since 2001 when Memento came out, and every single one of his movies are still art. You know, it's not like he sold out to just make a lot of money with like a blockbuster or anything. Now there are directors like that. I'm trying to think.
Pretty much anyone who directs any superhero movie, Michael Bay,
would be one of them.
Yeah. How many more Transformers movies do we need?
Yeah, they all suck besides the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Just because Megan Fox. It's really...
What happened to her?
She
got a fight with Michael Bay.
The thing about the Transformer movies, it's we all watched the cartoons growing up, and we read the comics growing up too. there's a reason why Transformers wasn't as popular as Ninja Turtles. And it wasn't as popular as Batman and Superman. So because CGI has become such a big deal, I mean, what has that done to film?
Oh, it's creates so many more jobs. Mm-hmm. Makes it harder, though. A lot of green screen work.
Mm-hmm. So it's a more specialized branch of study, you know, that I'm sure that you
like
guys
like,
see.
Like, I'll say the new Star Wars movie, there's like probably one animator for one frame. That's how much work goes into one frame.
Wow. And they take forever to render, too, because it's so high quality. And
it's like, I mean, I have a trouble just, like, keyframing one thing. That's, like, animating one thing. Mm-hmm. And they do all that and make the graphics look amazing. Like, it's unreal.
And it's seamless.
Yeah.
You're going more toward behind the scenes, and what's the route that you want to take?
I want to go into editing, so just, like, cutting the movie, not, like, really special effects. And then I want to go into screenwriting and also casting director.
What are you going to do with finance? You going to finance movies for him?
Yeah, well, you know, my dream one day is to, like, you know, work
for... If you can screenwrite, I can teach you how to do it. Yeah. There's a format for every movie today. Every movie follows the same format.
I want to act.
You want to act?
Can I be in your movie?
I mean, if I'm famous, yeah, one day I'll let you do it, yeah. Right.
I mean, but I know you're pursuing your rap... Thank you. You're pursuing your rap career right now, Anthony. And
my mixtape drops soon. Check it out.
How do you feel about the new Tupac movie?
I haven't seen that yet. I want to see that.
Oh, it's... Yeah.
I heard it was terrible, but I still want to see it.
I mean, it's making money. It's
compare. I mean, so I grew up with Tupac. Mm-hmm. That was right in my wheelhouse. And I'm the whitest kid you know. And
not as white as me.
You got a foreign last name like me. We can pass.
It's Menno. That's a foreign last name.
Kudari, you're good. Yeah, okay. You got street cred.
Uh-huh.
AK.
Yeah, AK-47.
What happened to him? Is he still in the league? Is he still with
Kirilenko?
The Mets?
Yeah. No, he's gone, he's gone. Yeah, no.
What a mess.
Yeah.
But Tupac, so to me, like, I hold him in such a high esteem because I was there for the beginning when he was with Digital Underground, mm-hmm. and then he broke off by himself and got to the heights.
Yeah.
And
he was actually a pretty good actor, too, when he turned to, like,
Juice,
Above the Rim.
Oh, with, of course.
Those are great movies.
Poetic Justice was good.
Poetic Justice with Janet Jackson. Yeah. That's a good one, too, yeah.
And him, to me, like I stopped with rap right around the dawn of Nelly.
Yeah.
So you're talking 99, 2000
yeah. mm-hmm.
because it stopped becoming art. Mm-hmm. It stopped becoming a story. It stopped becoming like this guy was storytelling,
that's
which
right.
I think is very important with rap. Yeah. You can have your occasional song, you know, where Biggie puts out, I got a story to tell.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about, you know, one of the Knicks mm-hmm. girlfriends or whatever, but then you hear Dear Mama, mm-hmm. or you hear these different songs that Tupac sings and, you know, Biggie's singing about, mm-hmm. You know, growing up in Queens. But then Nelly's rapping about shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially that era, Sal, I think that's when it turned to the business of rap. That's when people started realizing, oh, I could make decent mm-hmm. money off of, you
what
know.
What about Eminem, though? He's still...
Well, that's an exception.
Eminem's a throwback.
Yeah.
I mean, Eminem's a throwback, which I think when he... After his first one, that was kind of gimmicky. A couple of the songs were gimmicky. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the radio hits were.
My name is.
You guys can go on. I'll stop. I would love to have you guys record that song. We'll just get the permission.
I'll get my own rap after.
he's a throwback, which I think skyrocketed him to such high esteem. Where mm-hmm. he's the greatest lyricist ever. Because we were coming off of the Nellies and the Juveniles and the Lil Waynes and all these guys. You know, Lil Wayne's not horrible, but his early stuff was,
He's not my style.
Not bad. I like Lil Wayne. He's not good.
But every kind of music kind of went through their ebbs and flows as mm-hmm. well. But I don't think anything got affected that much like Pac and rap.
Right,
you know?
Uh-huh. 90s rap to me is like the golden era
of
hip-hop.
So you guys listening to it, you know, having not experienced it and everything...
Yeah.
What are your impressions on that?
I love it, man. I wish I grew up in, like, the 90s, especially to see, you know, Biggie and Tupac. But obviously, I don't know, you didn't bring up Nas. He was really impactful on, the 90s. The Wu-Tang Clan. There's, like, a bunch of them. Tribe Called Quest. I don't know if you're familiar
with
Tribe.
Yeah, of course. R.I.P. Fife.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm more of a classic rock guy. So
I like rock, too.
I was raised with all the 80s music by my parents. So.
Which is great because a lot of those bands are still around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still touring. Making up their drug debts. So the difference, like, between music and film and things like that, you don't really see that because every generation probably has struggled with the same thing to, you know, be creative, but then you got to pay the rent too.
Yeah.
And it takes a visionary to kind of change it. you as an editor, or you as like a behind the scenes, you know, person that's putting it all together on the backside, what are the films that you look at more as like, that's excellent work. You know, they did a real good job there.
My favorite movie of all time is Goodfellas. Any Scorsese movie is my favorite. Yeah. So, I mean, as far as editing wise, I go to that.
With the Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. That's like,
probably the best movie of all time.
That's a perfect movie. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. Well, but as far as editing now, I'd say more modern movies I give more credit to, because it's all fast paced cutting. Yeah. Back then, there used to be like less cutting, because now everyone's attention spans are so small. Mm-hmm. They want people, if there's no cuts, they're like, what's happening?
It's like that shot in Goodfellas when they walk
in. Yeah, I love that shot. There's a scene where he's walking into the, it was like a club or bar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he goes like a back way route. Yeah. It's a one-take shot. It's like almost two minutes long.
Mm-hmm. You guys are basically rehashing that scene from Swingers where they talk about that same scene.
Yeah, Swingers, yeah.
But it's true because...
You know Swingers.
Because those guys in that movie, they talked exactly what you guys just said. I don't know if you've ever seen Swingers or whatever, but it's a funny movie. God bless Mikey and Trent. But they talk about the same thing. It's a single shot and, you know, walking in, and that's unique.
Yeah, and that movie started like the one shot.
Yeah, it's been used a lot later on. You see this movie called Children of Men? You ever see that movie? That was a one take.
You've seen Gravity, right?
Gravity.
The very beginning, they're all one shot. Pretty much like, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. It's all on a green screen. It's like,
So explain, people that might not know what one shot is. You know, explain what
it's
that
just
is.
One continuous shot without cutting. Yeah, no cuts. That's the best way I can explain it. No cuts.
So you almost have to attribute a lot of that to the writing,
because
that the actors will be able to deliver an easier read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those takes, they take a lot.
The most important thing for a movie is the script.
Going into a script, like to me, not knowing how it's developed or anything like that. You have to consider that, where's the camera going to be? How's the shot going to be taken? How's it, what's the editing?
Well, as far as screenwriting, you don't really worry about that. You just write the story. Directors, that's what they have to worry about.
It's their vision. Yeah. They see how the movie looks.
You don't write any camera actions. You don't write any, not even music. Mm-hmm. It's all directing for that.
Was there an adaptation of a book or a remake or whatever of an older movie or a story that you guys have seen that really got you that director did a great job, or vice versa, where like, God, that director just missed everything about that book?
There's a few not pretty recent ones I can think of. There's this one of my favorite movies is The Thing. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It's Kurt Russell. Yeah, it's a remake.
It was a prequel though, right?
No, the one with Kurt Russell in 1982.
Yeah.
They came out with a prequel in 2011. Well, yeah, that one. Yeah. That was horrible. Yeah. That was one that was trash, they completely missed the mark on that one. But the one with Kurt Russell in 1982 is a remake of a 50s monster movie. I think they did an excellent job because they added up the suspense. Obviously, with the 50s, you can't, do too much because it's, rawr. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like cheesy monster there. Makeup. Yeah.
You see the string hanging on the spider. Boom, mic coming down.
Yeah. So, they definitely, there's more room for potential like that, when you do it later on when the technology's advanced. So
your parents, you went into finance. Your parents are probably, oh, good, Anthony, that's great. I'm so happy. And I'm going into film. I'm going to study art. Yeah. Like, they make fun on TV. Like, oh, what are you going to art school? What are you going to do? If that's what you can pursue and do something with it, what was the reaction? What are the reactions now? Because I grew up where you're going to go to college, you're going to get a degree, and you're going to apply yourself and get a job in what your degree was. And even if the university you were going to didn't offer something you wanted, or circumstances happened where you would have had to change your major and pursue another major that really wasn't what you wanted, there's no flexibility there. Mm. Whereas like an art school, you got flexibility, it seems like, or I'm sorry, like a film school. But what was the reaction when you told your...
I mean, my whole life, I've known I wanted to do this. I mean, I feel like they support me, but they, think I should have, went to a real college or get a degree. I can tell, they, kind of hide it, but I can tell.
I feel like with careers like that,
it's a huge risk.
You don't go into, with the mindset, I'm going to make a lot of money off of this. You do it because you want to. Mm-hmm. It's your passion. Because
I don't see me doing anything else.
Yeah. And that's where I think a lot of the parents, and obviously with reason, you know, you always want your kids to do better than what you did.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the mindset that, you know, my parents had and all my buddies' parents had. But at the same time, if you're stuck at a mindless job, you know, doing what you wanna, doing what you are doing just to make sure mortgages are paid and mouths are fed, and finding the opportunity, you know, on the side, like this podcast that you guys should be supporting and listening to.
We will share it every week.
Post on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
You know, to chase it, but to be able to right off the bat, right out of high school, even in high school, because I think the curriculums are different now in high school than they were when I was, that are encouraging this more and more. But again, not knocking the traditional route either, because there's only five or six different majors, I think, that are still relevant, and they stand the test of time. Finance being one of them, accounting being one of them, business administration,
engineering,
you know, education, and you know, the teachers, you know, are the cornerstone, and they need to be. I absolutely agree with that for sure. But unfortunately, when you have the state involved and the public funds involved, is where they get screwed. Whereas you guys, like a financier or accounting, it's private funds for the most part, and something like that, obviously. The different routes you go as you work for a firm, or you start your own firm, or you know, you start at the bottom and now you're here, and
started from the bottom.
Right, right. We can add that into your mixtape too. Yeah. But I think a lot of the traditional route is that as well. How does that integrate though with the more modern curriculum? Like if I was studying accounting back in you know, back in when I was in college in the early 2000s, or if I was studying accounting now. I mean, what's different? How does are you able to branch off from yourself? Are they teaching you how to be more entrepreneurial, or are they teaching you to be like, you need to get a job with a firm and hopefully become a partner?
Yeah, more like with the firm. Like if you try to go with the entrepreneur route, I don't think like, I mean, unless you're really, there are like exceptions, but for the most part, it's better to just go with the firm. It's more safe that way than starting up your own business, because you know, you never know if a business will fail. You need to, I feel like it depends on what kind of business you open. If it's something like a grocery store or something, because there's always a demand for food. But if you want to open up something like, I don't know, like a lounge or something like that, it's kind of hard because how many people are going to demand, what's the demand for it? So,
what's the demographic of the teachers, or the professors? Younger, older?
More older, probably like in their 60s, give or take, yeah.
So that's about what I had when I was in school as well. I think it'd benefit more now, and again, it might be the byproduct of people just aren't going into education anymore, but I think it would benefit more now to have younger professors that know the modern techniques and would teach a more modern curriculum, and you'll find that more at a
film school or an art school. You see now, like, they're doing, everything's online now. All the classes, all the tests, the quizzes, everything's online, which is a good thing sometimes, but a lot of times.
It's cheaper for the university.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yep. Less lights, less gas, less, you know, whatever to pay. And the demographic at your school, a lot younger?
Yeah. I'd say I have some teachers who are, like, 20, some were 30, some were, like, 40s, but no one, like, older than probably, the oldest I have is probably 55. That's my screenwriting teacher.
Okay, so we're like, but they're pretty idealistic.
Yeah, they've all made movies. My teacher, my screenwriting teacher, he's sold, I think, like over 3 scripts. And scripts go for like, could be like 200,000.
Really?
And he's sold them, but he's never gotten them made.
Oh, okay.
There's movies that sell that don't get made. That's how hard it is to make them, yeah.
Has he lived here his whole life, or is he?
He was living in California, and then he moved back here.
Yeah, that's cool.
So they all have experience. It's not like they just have a degree in it and they just teach. They all have like on-set experience and like practice what they teach.
Anything we've heard?
I mean, everyone, they all have worked on Transformers, the new one, because
it was here.
Anything that's filmed here, my school gets to work on. They call and we get to something.
Where is it? Is that the one on Big Beaver?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I may be working on, you know, the show Detroiters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I may be working on that.
Yeah. That's cool. Plug it. Comedy Central. What time? What night?
I mean, I'm not going to be on it, but, you know.
If you're working on it, you still want it to get to season 2 and season 3.
Yeah.
Well, that's so, obviously, we had the big tax credits here in Michigan for a while, and now those kind of started to go away, and you see more filming in Georgia, you see more filming in Ohio.
And maybe moving to Georgia, too.
Yeah, so.
Atlanta's the big place now.
Is that, yeah, exactly. That's.
It's bigger than New York.
That's a huge difference now, isn't it, is the tax credits in these studios and these developers want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
When the boom was here in Michigan, did it get oversaturated with people pursuing it?
Honestly, I really don't know what happened. I was younger around that time, but...
Yeah, don't you study?
I don't know what happened.
You're going to school for
tax
it,
cuts, you know.
You gotta know. You gotta know your roots.
Yeah.
Tax cuts.
I just know. Go to L.A. or Georgia or go to New York. Yeah.
Florida. Maybe.
Even Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Really?
Toronto. Yeah. Toronto is big. Yeah. Like that. The show Designated Survivor. Yeah.
And they filmed Deadpool. They filmed Deadpool in, I forgot where it was. No, Vancouver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Well, Canada is very, very forgiving when it comes to that as well, and that's why you'll see a lot of series actually being filmed in Canada. Yeah. That are American, you know, series on television or whatever. But
these are good cookies, though.
Oh, you're welcome. My mother-in-law made them.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the, that's the raspberry thumbprint.
Mm-hmm. And these are good too.
Those are not made. They're made somewhere in somebody's house or factory.
Oh, okay.
But those are good as well.
Not homemade?
No, they're not. Someone's home. Not mine. Not a home that I know of. The thing I know you guys wanted to get after me a little bit on was you feel that I pick on you.
You do. Your generation. Honestly, I won't lie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. I mean, not everyone's perfect in our.
Yeah, but I mean, sure they were saying, your parents were saying.
I mean,
the same
I feel
thing
like it repeats
generation.
Itself every time. It's always the same.
Exactly.
It's,
yeah. Uh-huh.
It's history. It's repeats itself.
Were they saying that to you?
Yeah. Well.
Same thing with the music, everything. Like, oh, this is the devil's music, and then. Oh.
So my iPhone was my Nintendo, right? Mm-hmm. So like your guys, these damn tablets and these damn iPhones, blah blah blah. Like, well, that was Nintendo for me. That was cable TV for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. There's just every generation is you know obviously the greatest generation. Yeah. You know, cut your hair, hippie, and it keeps going and going and
change
going down
scary.
The line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, change is scary. Yeah. Except for the 8 years that you guys voted for us. Anyways,
well, he knows
this. The thing that I will give you guys credit for is you're very innovative. And I use that word a lot with Sean when we talked about, being in Silicon Valley. But you didn't take the traditional route. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that, school, trade school, whatever. You didn't accept the status quo. At the same time, you felt the world should be handed to you, and it's hard. You guys are hard to be employed. And I say you guys, generally speaking, and you don't get a lot of awesome pop culture references that I make, but whatever. But
what did I miss?
Not you guys.
Oh, okay.
Again, I know a lot of 80s.
I'll say something, and I'll say a line from Dazed and Confused. Oh, the damn line everybody knows. All right. And everyone's where's that from? It's like, God, you guys are so stupid.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But that's my thing. It's like,
pop quiz, what year did that movie come out?
What was that, 92?
Yes.
93.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. I'm a Rain Man. Oh, yeah.
Random Access.
I'm not joking. Yeah.
No. And that was a good, but that came out in 93.
Yeah.
And it depicted 1977?
Yeah, it was 78? Late 70s, yeah.
And everybody says to that movie they captured it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because you had the actors in that movie.
Mm-hmm. McConaughey.
Maybe they weren't that old to have lived through it or whatever, but they were pretty close to it, so they could hear stories and they heard their uncles or whatever telling them about it. But what a cool time for that to capture, 20 years, almost 15 years later.
Yeah.
But that was a good movie. I mean, so movies like that are just they don't take themselves serious. They know what they are. As people that really get deep, and you guys have already mentioned a couple movies that I haven't seen and probably won't see.
You haven't seen The Shawshank Redemption?
I've seen Shawshank
Redemption. Yeah, everyone has.
The Scorsese one from last year I didn't see.
Oh, Silence.
Yeah, I don't expect you to
Memento,
see it.
Memento.
Oh, you haven't seen Memento? Yeah.
So, I watched it recently.
Yeah, did you like it? Yeah, it wasn't good.
But a movie like that, a movie like Step Brothers.
that's a classic. That changed my life when I was in fourth grade.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I
learned so much that.
Married when that movie came out. fourth grade.
Yeah, fourth grade.
The worst.
I saw The Hangover when I was like sixth grade or something.
When you go into a movie like that, are you snobs about it?
No, be honest You're with snobby. You. I like movies like that because I could just shut off my brain. I don't have to focus.
It's the whole point, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot better to watch.
I feel like I'm more critical with action movies because I hate like needless action. There has to be a story. It's not just...
Really?
Yeah, I can't.
Love action. Well, it depends if it's well made. If it's well made.
Well, yeah,
action.
But I just can't stand like just like nonstop action. It has to be like meaningful.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, what's a well-made one versus a not well-made one?
You see,
well,
John, like, Wick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those ones. Yeah. Those are well-made action, yeah.
Like, but Transformers,
those are not too well-made.
It's not, no.
Yeah.
And they get the knock, and, you know, Lucas got the knock when he started introducing all the CGI into the Star Wars movies and everything. Yeah. But, like, I love all the old, the original trilogy.
I do too, man. Yeah.
But I like CGI, too. I think CGI is badass, and, you know, why knock it? Are those the snobs that are the ones blogging and tweeting about it?
Yeah. There's people who say that they didn't like Yoda in the prequels because it's CGI.
Yeah, it was all CGI.
It looks better, though. I like it better.
You gotta have a good balance of CGI and practical effects, though. Yeah, it can't be... Like, Phantom Menace, it was all CGI.
That's right, yeah.
Like, yeah, Lucas would just say, like, I want this guy walking in at this time, this guy walking in at this time, the animators would change it.
Yeah.
And then all the fights are like dances.
Yeah.
Like jumping up and down with backflips for like 20 minutes long.
I mean, the fights are way better in the newer ones than the old ones.
I like the original ones, though.
Like, you have like Obi-Wan just like walking like this.
Yeah.
It's badass, but for this time, but no.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was a matter of that Obi-Wan was in his 60s. Yeah.
I get that, but Darth Vader's still old, too.
Leave that poor
Anakin,
man.
He's still old.
Not the guy playing him, not the guy in the suit.
Yeah.
Well, I get that, but still. Like, they're both the same age in the movie, or close to the same age in the movie is supposed to be.
And so when you had, but again, you know, if you look at Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor playing Anakin and Obi-Wan, you know, that the scene...
I like that.
That was the best scene.
It's a little long, but
I reenact that scene all the time.
I mean, that was a very important part to the entire seven movies, because that fight, I think you had to dedicate a little bit more time, set up how the universe, how the canon of Star Wars became, the original, how that just
the fall of Anakin.
Exactly. Yeah. The fall of Anakin, the birth of Darth Vader, the death of the Jedi.
The best part is when, like, they both do the Force at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so epic. Yeah.
But a lot of that obviously was CGI as well. Yeah. You couldn't do that back in the
70s.
In that
case, it's good CGI. You know, like David said, you know, you have to have a mix of, you know.
It has to be practical, a good mix of practical and,
Mm-hmm. So we established that Transformers is too much. Is there a movie that you were like, you know what, this movie could have used is a little bit more CGI?
That's interesting.
I never really.
That's a good question. Yeah.
Have you seen the original Lord of the Rings trilogy?
Yes.
That movie, it's amazing. Like, all the orcs are all real people, and then the new Hobbit ones, it's all CGI, and it pisses me off. Mm-hmm. It looks so fake. Like, why do that when you can have, like, real actors
and they weren't
like, make
that
up?
Long ago. Like, there wasn't, like, a big difference.
Yeah. That's why I don't understand, like, why they go that route. Maybe it's cheaper.
Is it cheaper?
But I feel like it'd be expensive, too, because you gotta do all the CGI.
But so I would think that actors, the actors probably get paid a little bit more, and then the makeup artists probably get paid, whereas the editors are just kind of like...
And I heard Ian McKellen, or Prince's last name, he cried on set because most of it was green screen. And he's not used to that. He's
like
78 or something like that. He's like that old, and like he's not used to being in front of a green screen. He's used to be like being on a real set, and not talking to like no one.
Now they filmed that in New Zealand, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So other than your directors and your actors and the lighting guys and sound guys, who else goes on those trips?
What do you mean, like as
like
far
who
as
who goes?
Like everyone.
Everybody, the editors and everybody.
Well, not editors don't come in until after. So editors aren't even on set most of the time.
The film composers,
they watch it after the editor's done, because then they score
then they
it to
up, they cut to the what they see. Some movies actually they score it before.
What movie?
Hans Zimmer, Interstellar. He had the music.
Well, before. He had like the beat of it, but not like he didn't like score
some
it like
them,
the whole. I know I heard the story, but he never like scored the whole movie. He just got like the idea, I guess. But honestly, songs do help me write, and that's what helped him finish the script too. I heard the story. He like.
Quentin Tarantino said he writes to music.
Well, he is different, though, because, like, well, I mean, when he broke through Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction, he made a huge name for himself. So he can do whatever he wants. Like, when you're a big-name director, you can, like not follow the format and still, like, get people will still buy your script and you'll still make your movie made.
Yeah, your name.
It's your name.
Every movie up until the most recent one, Hateful Eight, he picked up all the songs. He didn't have a composer do it. He picks his own music like
and
that.
He,
and that's really rare today. And he
writes like his camera actions because he knows he's going to direct it. It's not like he's just a screenwriter. Mm-hmm. So it's different that way.
So Anthony, you know, you're pretty versed in film and things like that, and you chose your route, how do you do it? You're just inquisitive. You want to find out.
I just love movies. I spend a lot of time on Wikipedia. In my free time, I just look up interviews. Quentin Tarantino. I've literally watched
I've watched 90%
of his interviews.
You see the one where he got mad? It was for Django Unchained.
Because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that one. Yeah. I'm shutting your butt down.
Yeah. Don't talk.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that one. But yeah. I just watch all my favorite directors. I know I've seen all their interviews and stuff like that. And then they talk about movies, and it just goes from there.
It motivates me and inspiration.
What's your?
Don't ask that question.
How many more superhero movies are we gonna have to?
Well, in class today, we were talking about how all it is every studio film is to make money. Like, let's say I write an original idea, they're not gonna take a risk with me because I'm some random writer, never made a movie before. They're not gonna risk me. They're gonna make Pirates of the Caribbean 7. Keep making more sequels or remakes.
We do need to support Johnny Depp, though. He's come across some.
Yeah, that was awesome. That Pirates movie was awesome. Did you see it?
The last one?
Yeah.
It actually was pretty good.
It was good. It was pretty good.
The third one was trash.
They need to make up for that one.
Yeah.
That one was miserable.
Yeah, it went downhill from there.
But why? Why? I know the studio wants to make money. It makes money. Yeah. So at what point do more people like you guys stand up and say, I'm not done. I'm done with this. I'm not going to go to the theater anymore. Or is it just Jesus Christ, we got to take the kids to go see Pirates and buy the sword and the patch.
I kind of do that right now. Remember when you asked me to watch the new X-Men? I told them.
And actually, Logan was the best X-Men one. Movie ever.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
And I think when you find where it's not the ensemble.
I knew it was. I heard. Yeah.
Right? It's not the ensemble. I figured that Logan probably would be better than the other ones because it's more of a story.
I mean, I love Wolverine, but all the movies they came up with were pretty shitty besides Logan. And maybe the original, the couple. I was a little kid when I saw them. Awesome. Yeah.
Are you guys insufferable to go to movies with? If I was a girl, I don't know that I'd be able to do it.
Every first date, I think I go to a movie because it helps me. And even if I don't like her, I saw a good movie. So it works out both ways.
Yeah.
Every first date. And then you got something to talk about after, too.
Well, then you want to go see something you like.
Yeah.
At the expense of maybe she's not into it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I ask first, but she says usually it's a yes.
And how long you been with your girlfriend?
No, it's not a girlfriend, but I'm saying every first girl
I'm saying
date,
your girlfriend right now?
I don't have a girlfriend.
Oh, because you go see movies you want to see.
Yeah. Oh, I see that.
We went the other day. We saw three movies.
Yeah,
one
three
day.
Movie
we
hopped together. Hopped.
Yeah, we do that all the time.
I did that once. I was in California, and my buddy's car broke down, so we couldn't do anything. So we went in the morning, and it was Jurassic Park 2.
Oh, God.
That was trash.
It was bad.
The Lost World?
Yeah.
The little dinosaur things?
It was so bad. Uh-huh. So we went and saw that. Or was it 3? It was in 2001.
Oh, so it was the third one.
It was the third one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Damn, you are
better
good.
Than the second one.
Yeah. And we saw that, and then we jumped into God damn it, I forget the other two.
What came out that year?
2001.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Summer 2001.
Let's go, Aficionado.
A Beautiful Mind.
No.
How do you X-Men 1.
How do you memorize this shit?
But anyways, we did that in a theater in Mission Viejo.
Yeah.
And we just jumped in. Like, I'd never done that before. And I was like, wow.
What movies did you see? I'm kind of curious.
I wish I could tell you if I would, phone a friend and find out. But, yeah, I just remember sitting through Jurassic Park 3. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, this is fucking terrible. And because we loved, me and Sean loved the first Jurassic Park.
Yeah. You told me about that.
To this day, I still consider it maybe my top three. And I know it's like, wow, really? You have low standards. Well, fuck you. That's my favorite movie.
Well, it's not like you're saying it's your future favorite, not like...
The best.
Yeah, the best.
Right,
yeah.
No.
It's all about... Yeah.
No. Universally accepted as the best movie, Casablanca,
It's a good movie.
I've never seen it.
Really?
Never seen
it's
it.
It's a good movie, but
you like
it's
that.
Gone with the Wind.
You like that. You like that one,
it.
Too.
Yeah. I actually saw
that a few months ago.
Why would I like that one?
Because I know you... You've shared your opinion on romance and stuff like that. You're a romantic guy. You've said that before, and I feel like you'd like that. You'd like that movie.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
If you like romance, then you'll like it.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it in Bronze Class, so I really didn't pay attention too much.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's talking. So I watched it at film school in high school.
So what do we had a film
class. So I got these movies right here. So Monsters Inc., Shrek, Training Day, Lord of the Rings.
It's probably Training Day.
Harry Potter.
Nope.
Donnie Darko, Black Hawk Down, The Others, Fast and Furious.
Well, the first one came out that long?
God, wow, listen.
None of these?
It wasn't any of those. This summer, is making me feel old. Summer, June.
Enemy at the Gates. The Mummy Returns. Bridget Jones' Diary. Spy Kids. Ghost
World. And Sean went and saw Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yeah?
No.
Planet of the Apes. None of these?
No.
Wow. Legally Blonde?
Yes. That was one of them. That was one of them.
Are you joking? Or are you
Reese saying? Witherspoon, man.
I like that movie.
Reese
actually.
Witherspoon. Like movie. Yeah. It could have been on mute.
Mm-hmm. Reese Witherspoon.
It's my girl and her chin. But so what do you, you know, from a Casablanca or a Gone with the Wind? Keep looking. I'm curious about my third
okay,
one now.
Yeah. Were you serious? You actually saw Legally Blonde?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that one. I thought it was sarcasm at first. But
no, absolutely.
AI, Spirited Away. I think I already said
that. AI was the
was that what it was?
Yes, okay, that was
yeah,
the other
okay,
one.
Yeah,
AI, so that was the one. That was a chore to get through.
Yeah, oh my God. That's such a painful movie.
Yeah, that was
a
try why I blocked it out. That was a chore to get through.
I know, right? Yeah.
So what are the lessons that you guys learn, like, especially you in school and your professors telling you, like, from the different generations and genres of movies that can be applied now for somebody like yourselves to be like, okay, you know, I picked up that this director or this writer picked up on the cue from, you know, The Blob or, you know, whatever, the thing.
Blob, like a thing, yeah. The Blob's another movie with Steve McQueen, yeah.
What it, you know? What
I mean, as
you...
far as directing wise, we learn like their style. Like if they do center framing, that's where the person's like generally in the center, or the rule of thirds. That's what Scorsese follows, mm-hmm. and pretty much everyone else, he's more towards like the there's like the points more towards the third. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's for directing wise, and like as far as like cutting style, editing.
You learn things like the what's that one called, the 180 degree rule.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
What else? I'm trying to think.
There's a bunch of techniques that people like Hitchcock uses, like the mm-hmm. vertigo zoom.
Hitchcock's got the, you know, the blonde lead actress and stuff
He's
got those cinematic techniques.
Yeah. I don't know. Scorsese always uses narration. Mm-hmm. Always uses famous music from like that time period that was in.
That mm-hmm. he's depicting.
It's most of the time it's real. It's based off real stories.
Mm-hmm.
The
a lot of pans.
Mm-hmm. The actors, they have no say. Like, are they able to say, hey, you know, Martin, you know, what if we did it like this
talking
or whatever?
Me.
I mean,
talking to me.
Martin, probably not. Maybe, like, if you're a really big actor, then yes. But as far as, like, changing the dialogue, they have the right. They can. Yeah, like, if they, like, they say, oh, this sounds weird. But in the end, the director has the final say.
Does that happen a lot, do you think?
It depends on the director.
It's kind of funny. There's a funny story I'll share real quick. You know Terminator 1? Mm-hmm. You know Arnold's famous line, I'll be back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went up to James Cameron. He goes, I'm a machine. Machines don't say I'll. They will say I will be back. And James Cameron got pissed. He's like, you don't tell me how to do my job. Yeah. He's like, you say I'll be back, and then you act, okay? And then when you look at that?
Yeah. Right.
James Cameron's the biggest ego ever. He edits his own films.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's... how long it takes to get those movies out.
Yeah.
But then he's got...
He bought his own studio in his house, and he learned how to edit just because he wanted to edit. And, like, they have to pay an editor because he's, like, I don't know why, but, like, I heard, like, for, I think it was maybe Titanic, they had an editor on set with them, but he was getting paid to do nothing.
Wow.
Well, James Cameron was editing.
But he's got two of the top three highest...
I know. I'm not saying he's not in the right place. I'm just saying, like, it's crazy...
But you almost have to be an egomaniac to deal with the talent, right? Because, like you said, who's going to go up to Schwarzenegger, a Mr. Universe winner, and tell him to shut the hell up and act?
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on who it is, I have to say.
Not many directors would have said that to Arnold. Yeah. A lot of them would have just said
Michael
that.
Bay probably would have.
Yeah.
I have some stories about Michael Bay. I have people for Transformers 5, like they were production assistants,
mm-hmm.
and whenever Michael Bay is pissed... And he's, like, walking towards you, he'd fire you. So there's some PAs that got fired.
Really?
They go outside, change their clothes, come back in. He doesn't even notice. True story.
Wow.
Barney Stinson. True story.
What? True story. Barney Stinson. What does a PA get fired for?
I mean, for Michael Bay, just looking at him wrong.
Really?
I'm being serious. Yeah. He's a prick.
What a dick.
I know people who...
You guys are really burying Michael Bay today.
I just don't like him, because from what I heard from him about him, like...
I've never liked any movie he's done. Even The Rock, you ever see that one?
I did see that.
I didn't like that one either.
But whenever he films a movie here, he always hires people from Michigan because it's cheaper. It's just how it is for, like, every movie, pretty much. Whatever, like, local crew you can get, you're going to pay. So people from my school go a lot on the Transformers movies. And I know someone who was, like, one of the camera operators.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me, like, how much of, like, a dick he was and stuff. But they all liked Mark Wahlberg, though.
So something like that, you're hired in as a camera operator on a Transformer movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not employed by the studio. That's like, okay, cool, that's a wrap. Go back to
Blue. Well, you're on a payroll for a movie like that.
The next film that they make, they're not going to be like, hey, we're doing this again.
I mean, if they like you, it depends like on the DP. The DP is the director of photography. If he like likes you, he'll probably call you back, but probably not because, I mean, the reason why most people were there is because it was a local film. They wanted cheap, they want to spend that much money on crew as they can, so they call people from Michigan.
What's the best sports movie you've ever seen?
That's an excellent question.
Fictional or non-fictional?
Sports.
Just sports in general.
I like this bowling movie called Kingpin.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Honestly, you're going to hate me, but Rocky. Remember the... No, that's a good one. Remember the Titans. I don't really like
that. It's a good story. You don't like it?
It's a little cheesy.
Well, it's a great movie.
They took a lot of liberties with that. If you really look at the story, they didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
Varsity Blues.
They definitely Disneyed it up.
Yeah,
Varsity Blues is good.
What about Miracle?
That's a good one too. Miracle.
So
I played hockey when I was younger, and that was the movie I had to watch before games.
Happy Gilmore.
with that, I mean, we talked, you know, Miracle and Remember the Titans as opposed to like a Major League and things like that. I think people hold in higher regard because it's a more serious movie, like those more serious sports movies. How, like, when you go to watch this, you know, Anthony, you're a sports fan. And you know what a proper jump shot or a proper swing or whatever should look like. Does that ruin you?
It does.
It does. Like when you're watching White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah, I was going to point to that one exactly.
And Wesley Snipes is doing what he does. Mm-hmm. He was doing Wesley things.
I was like, oh God.
Right. I mean, does it just ruin it?
Yeah, there's a lot of movies like that too. Or do you suspend
reality?
There's a lot of baseball movies. I mean, Kevin Costner, he's actually pretty good with baseball. So if you look at all of them, they look authentic.
And he's pretty good with Cal Ripken Jr.'s wife too. Yeah. So.
There you go.
I mean, a lot of movies are trained like prior to shooting.
Yeah.
Well, most big budget movies.
Sports Raging Bull, De Niro boxed like for 2 months before.
Mm-hmm. He got in an incredible shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He bulked up big time. Yeah,
he did. That's another thing too about the talent. I mean, right now people are freaking out about Jonah Hill. He just dropped a bunch of weight again.
Again?
Yeah,
he got fat as hell again.
He did.
Was that one, War Dogs or something like that?
Yeah, War Dogs.
He was so fat in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see that yet.
But now he dropped a bunch of weight. But
good
like
for him.
So De Niro was in between, you know, Godfather and Raging Bull and all the different movies where he had a different look in every movie. That's a lot of discipline to be
Christian
able to
Bale,
do that.
He was really skinny in that one.
Weight transformation Christian Bale did.
Yeah. What was that movie? He was really skinny?
The Machinist.
Yeah, and then he got bulked up for Batman Begins.
And then he went back to being skinny.
Like, how do you do, like, no, I cannot do
that. The Fighter, he was a boxer in that, like a cracked out, so he had to lose weight for that one. So,
I mean, in a current movie, you probably never seen it, but La La Land.
Yeah, I didn't see it. You'd like
that
one too.
But Ryan Gosling, he learned how to play all that piano stuff. Like, I think he spent like, was it 3 months?
Yeah.
I heard like he practiced every day. That's crazy just to learn piano like out of the blue like that. And he played very well.
Well, again, I mean, if you're a studio and you say, here's X amount of million dollars to make this movie. Oh, cool. I'm going to read some lines. No, like, you want to earn the money, right? And you want some credibility and you want your face on that screen. Yeah, go learn the piano for a couple bars. And, you know, that way other casting people can say, like, wow, look at that guy. Yeah. And then you get X amount more $1 million.
I mean, a budget for, like, a small budget for movies nowadays is 10 to 15 million. That's considered small. A small budget film.
No such thing as an indie movie anymore.
Yeah. Well,
but they're all horror movies that people buy off.
Cheap,
yeah.
Low budget horror
movies. I think a guy like a Kevin Smith.
47 Meters Down. So
you know, a Kevin Smith who started as that indie guy and took that same base, you know, those same characters into the bigger budgets, it kind of made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought Clerks 1.
Clerks and,
like, was so good. And
Mall
then he
Rats.
Kept going on.
Yeah.
Mallrats was good, and then he got the Chasing Amy. You know, like, Mallrats wasn't quite as good as Clerks, and Chasing Amy was just like, and then he got the Clerks 2, and then you were Jane Silent Bob, they were the bigger studio releases, and like...
I agree.
So, is it Kevin Smith that just chased a check, or is it the studio that was like, hey, you should do
studio,
this?
Definitely the studio. Some of them, especially in Kevin Smith's case, they force him. Like, he doesn't, in that case, like, he doesn't have a vision. They kind of, they force it on him, like, this is what you're going to do.
Whenever they go independent, it's because most of the time, because they want to make it the way they see it. Because if you're a director and you're just like, if you're not a huge big name,
studio,
the producer pretty much has a say.
Yeah.
Sadly, but
So now with like Kickstarters, you know, you can say, oh yeah, you know, throw me some money online. But how, you know, how was he funding that? I mean, I know the story of how he was funding that, and it was an incredible story, but like a lot of guys don't hit it like him. Is that just the big difference now where you see indie films? I'm sure, again, it probably, is it cheaper to make an indie film now?
I'd say way cheaper because because you can edit yourself now, get your own equipment, all that stuff.
Raise money. Yeah. You can market it yourself.
I'm actually learning next semester how to raise money to make a movie, so I can get back to you.
So that's a cool ass.
Everybody
class.
Donate to David. Yeah. He's gonna be the next Spielberg.
I mean, I'm not gonna go the independent route.
No, what did
route.
He say? Spielberg.
Sorry, I'm not Jewish.
The next Spielberg.
I'm the next Scorsese. So that's the way I want to go.
Okay. So that's your guy, Scorsese.
He's more him and Tarantino.
Okay. What about you? Who are your favorite directors, films that you like to? Or you just you don't generalize.
I've got
it,
too
you?
Many. I could spend days talking about.
What about
it,
your favorite genre of film?
That's hard.
Again, that's hard. Yeah. I mean, I like thrillers, westerns, action movies.
I even like romance.
I like romance movies too. Comedies, you name it. I just bought Airplane 1 on Blu-ray.
Yes.
It's the funniest movie I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, you can't make that movie now. You cannot make that movie now.
And as far as writing goes, you cannot make a bad guy anything besides a white male.
Really?
Yeah. As far as writing goes. Because they
believe it now, especially 2017.
Now, If you want to get your script sold, no. You can't have an Asian or you can't have anything that'd be offensive. And also some cool facts too is, you know, the movie The Great Wall, how it bombed here. It made so much money in China.
Really?
There's a market like for out of the country they make,
because when I think of Chinese heroes I think Matt Damon.
I mean, serious though, like they made a shit ton of money. It boomed, got records in fucking China.
Jimmy Kimmel joke.
I love when him and Matt
he dropped Damon, what was that movie called? The one he
produced. Oh, We Bought a Zoo?
No, that one, that was a funny one too. The one with Casey Affleck this year, you know what I'm talking about. Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, yeah, when he made fun of it. That's actually a good movie, but it's very depressing.
Yeah.
It's a sad story.
Yeah, very sad. You see it?
Yeah, it's a sad story.
And Amazon Prime funded that too. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
So that's another dynamic too, because now you got like, you know, Amazon that's going to be funding you, and the studios got to hate that. They got to hate that because Amazon has a limitless supply of money because they can draw from so many sources. Whereas Paramount or, you know, MGM, they can't. Do studios get to a point where they're like, you know, we can't be comedy, we can't be thriller, we are action. This is our wheelhouse. Let's just be an action studio. Or they got to be as diverse as they have to.
Depends on what scripts they get. I mean, what they try to do is they try to get a script that gets, there's like four types of groups of audiences. There's the women 12 to like 25, women like 25 and over, then same with the men and stuff. Women go the least, men go them, like the men 12 to 25 go, they want to try to get like genres that hit everyone. So they want like a mix of genres in a movie. So like a example of like a four-way hitting movie would be like Forrest Gump. You got drama, romance,
comedy,
everything. It hits everyone. And they do like polls and get like statistics about like what group sees what.
How hard is it? Because like there's people that get screeners before the movie comes out, and then they have the test groups and things like the focus groups or whatever, to keep those plots and to keep the movie a secret.
It's pretty much impossible.
Hard now, today's age.
Well, what movie got exposed? Was it Pirates of the Caribbean? Was holding it hostage, saying, I want this ransom for, or else I'm going to release it online and everyone will see it.
I got a question for you, David. Are you scared when you debut your movies? Like, when people see them, when you watch it?
I mean, I am nervous, but most of the time I do comedies, so I'm excited because I like to hear the laughter. But, I mean, because I know what's wrong with it. I know, like, all the audio
not
is shitty.
Nobody knows that.
I know, but, I mean, I get sweaty and nervous, but then once I hear people's reactions, it's calming, and that's why I do it.
Yeah.
I feel satisfied.
What have you put out?
All on YouTube.
You have a YouTube channel, then?
Yep.
What is it?
Just look up David Lester. I'll be the first one that pops up.
Okay.
You see a picture of me. Me and Anthony actually made some videos.
Yeah.
And during high school, I entered a film festival for students, and I won over 14 awards.
Oh, wow.
I graduated with honors for the whole art department because of the film stuff. And I got funding for Ike because right when I leave, they get funding. They get all this new.
You did the senior video, too.
They get these new, they get green screens, they get lights, new cameras, right when I leave. So it sucks. Oh. But I mean, I made a pathway.
You paved the way.
Yeah.
You paved the way, yeah, brother.
Major impact.
Yeah.
Major.
And they showed all my...
Did they have a plaque or a statue or anything?
No, but I do have like a certificate like on the wall about like stuff like made the senior video and all my awards and stuff. So
that's good. That's great. Going back to, you know, talking about the different genres and stuff like that, what's the most fun, do you think, to make?
To make? I mean, I say comedy.
I've read somewhere, you know, John Carpenter. Mm-hmm. He said horror movies are so fun to make.
I feel like that'd be fun too, yeah. But like, if I was an actor, I'd be scared.
Yeah, really?
I think I'd be scared. You know, it's fake.
Just kind of screwing around with knives and stuff. Yeah, I read that somewhere. That was fun to make. Yeah.
What a niche. And like, there's not a bad time to come out with a horror movie. That's not my gig. Right.
Horror movies make the most money.
Not a bad time.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And they have such a cult following too. Yeah. Like, you can make an awful, dead, you know, just panned universally horror movie, and you're gonna have a very vocal minority to like, you know, this is a great movie. Yeah. This is a great horror movie. And almost they're saying it ironically, but they'll continue to watch it and watch it and watch it.
Yeah. A great example would be Paranormal Activity. The highest budgeting thing it made so much money. I mean, I know it's not good.
Making them, that's the problem.
Not
the
anymore.
First one was awesome.
They haven't made them anymore.
Yeah, they had the lost ones last year, the marked
really?
Ones. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see it. It's probably why.
I didn't either.
But like, the highest budget, the thing they spent the most money on was pizza. All they had was like a handheld camera.
How much was the budget?
I'm pretty sure it was under 60,000.
Wow.
It was all on pizza.
Yeah.
You're in one house, you're just walking around with the camera, you got two actors, you don't know who the hell they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'm going to be in a movie. And they walk around with the camera and add a little sound effects, some dragging.
And then
they
made millions and millions of dollars, too.
Just from that.
Well, that's like the
Blair Witch Project.
The one that
Blair
came out when I was, Blair Witch Project.
That's, I mean, I wish I could have done that, but now it's, it's hard. Mm-hmm. And I wish I started making movies when I was younger. I waited till high school, even though I knew I wanted to, but I was just too busy, just being a little fuckboy and having fun.
And it's just a lot
playing
more
too much video games.
Accessible. There's nothing wrong with that. My Xbox is ready to go when we're done here.
Yeah.
2K.
I have 2K16, though, so I'm a little dated.
It's following me.
It's all good. We get ready to wrap this up here. The thing I always have trouble asking, you know, And people hate the question. I already heard you start to say, don't ask it, I hate that question.
I don't want that question, so.
What is the worst movie you've ever... I'm not going to ask it,
I've got,
I already know. What's the worst movie you've ever seen?
I've got a bunch. The Room, that's,
Is it, I'm pretty sure that's ranked like
that's
the worst movie ever.
So I've got three. Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh, yeah. So bad.
I mean, I love Dragon Ball Z.
So,
you like Dragon Ball Z?
I love Dragon Ball.
And now I like even more.
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Would you like better Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z?
Z all day long.
It's a little bit too...
Oh, the Cell Saga.
I own every season. Do you watch Super or no?
Yeah, I'm into that now. Yeah, I'm into that.
It's pretty good, actually.
And it comes on at the right time. Kids go to bed. I'm done with Disney and Nickelodeon. Wife goes to bed.
You can stream it online.
I know, but...
It is nice.
It's hard to watch on a 5-inch screen.
I watch on my Xbox. Just go on the...
True. But there's a 14 steps going upstairs that my 35-year-old knees just can't take sometimes. But, that's my shit. Dragon Ball is awesome. My buddy and I, Sean and I, he got all the DVDs from Japan. And they were all subtitled in English. So it was so sweet watching those on, you know, everyone else's computer because, you know, we couldn't stay up till 3-4 in the morning at his house or my house.
Awesome.
And just, you know, like, and the voices were so different in Japan and, you know, listening to Vegeta and Goku, like, making their noises and stuff. It's like, it's just, Dragon Ball Z is my shit. But that Dragon Ball Z Evolution was so bad.
I remember I was in, like, 4th or 5th grade, and I switched to the theater to see it, and I was like, what the fuck?
Like, I think I finished watching it as a punishment to myself to teach myself a lesson.
Goku's in high school, like...
Yeah.
They ruin the whole story.
No, absolutely.
He's a punk.
I mean, I love Dragon Ball.
It was miscast.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely think it was miscast.
Yeah, it should have been an Asian. It should have not been, like, who...
Well, that's the whitewashing of...
Justin Chatwin.
I get that, but they should follow, like, what it was.
Yeah, and then number two... I think you'll hate this one too. Last Airbender.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too. Stop stealing mine.
Yeah.
You already have all mine.
And then number three is Batman and Robin, which actually came out 20 years ago to this day. I saw it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
What what makes them your not liked movies? Writing, directing,
everything.
Acting,
I'd say writing.
The fact that they took your money.
Poorly written.
Too.
Yeah.
Very poorly written.
Cheesy lines. Horrible directing. You name it.
Yeah.
But how do these movies get through?
They got a good name. It's people are going to pay to see Batman. Yeah. People are going to pay to see Dragon Ball. People are going to pay to see Avatar. So that's the way.
You weren't into Avatar?
No, I love Avatar. Yeah, I was into Avatar. I did back in the day. I mean,
I never saw Avatar.
Really?
Never saw it.
Mm-hmm. I was pretty into it, but I never like watched it all the way through. Like
Dragon Ball Z. There was that whole thing with Avatar where like, oh my god, I can't live in this world anymore because I saw where the Avatar, and like people were like killing themselves or trying to harm themselves because they wanted to be in this utopian, like how Avatar was. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't get that. And then maybe that's part of the reason why, because like, I didn't like, how can a film make this, you know, such a connection?
That's one thing I hate about my generation. Everyone's so sensitive.
Super sensitive.
And it pisses me off because it makes me look bad.
Again, you know, I don't want, you know, you guys. There's exceptions to every rule. And I told you, I identify more with people that are, you know, 10, 15 years younger than me than, you know, that are my age or just a couple years older than me. But you're right. You know, they're ultra sensitive. Yeah. I don't think I hide my political, you know, leanings, but you have to tiptoe and walk on eggshells for sure. Yeah. Like we said, you know, you can't make Airplane now.
Yeah.
Obviously, like Saturday Night Live was just had.
It's not funny anymore. A blast. It's the same thing.
But they had a blast, and they had more eyes on them, and they took advantage of the you know short little streaming clips and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You really haven't seen that come out because obviously the turnaround's a little bit shorter, but in the film, you know, there's no political commentary. There's the one coming out where the rapper ends up becoming elected mayor that's coming out.
I saw that.
I mean, I think that may be cool. maybe someone threw a movie together about that, but does politics affect filmmaking?
Yeah, because in my industry, everyone's liberal.
Liberal. It's Hollywood.
So I'm liberal now.
Yeah.
Or pretending to be.
There's very few Republican.
I mean, I am more moderate. I'm not one. I wouldn't say I'm right wing or left wing, but I'm gonna pretend to be more left for my career's sake.
To be gainfully employed.
Yeah.
How many Republicans are there? I know Clint Eastwood, John Voight.
Any other? What's his name? Braveheart.
Oh, Mel Gibson. Oh, Gibson. Yes, Mel Gibson. That's a good one. Yeah.
But he's something else.
He's a Looney Tune.
He's something else though. Yeah.
You want to talk about?
Well, Scorsese has to be Republican.
No, he's liberal.
Really?
Yeah.
He's Catholic. I feel like most Catholics are.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Why?
It's just more they're more conservative.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying why is Hollywood more liberal?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Is it an art thing?
I don't know.
I think it is an art thing because if you look at the music thing too, all musicians are liberals. I don't know if any rapper
except
artist,
for your country music.
Yeah.
But that's a Southern thing.
Southern, exactly, and that's more conservative. So
I think maybe just benefits making movies more. I don't know.
I guess if you can't be narrow-minded, you have to have open to reach more audiences. I guess I don't know, but
as long as it doesn't come through in your film, I don't have a problem. I don't care. Yeah. I don't push your agenda in front of me, you know, right or left. Just give me something to watch.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to tell you, Sal. You remind me of Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr.
Your face. Your face is Steve Kerr.
So I actually heard the other day, like the Clark Kent things have died now. I don't know.
No, that's still there.
That's
for me.
Still, yeah.
I don't hear that every freaking day anymore.
But it has done work. Yeah, it has.
Bill Hemmer. You guys know the guy from Fox News? Someone told me the other day. My sister-in-law told me the other day that I look like Bill Hemmer. I don't see it. Steve Kerr.
Yeah. You know Steve Kerr?
No. Never heard
coach
that
of the
one.
Warriors.
I don't. Oh, coach. Really?
Yeah.
Not Mike Brown. Yeah. I definitely
not
don't look like
guy,
him.
No.
I don't know. I don't watch basketball that much.
Let me pull it up. You don't know
what I mean. I like NFL. It's really it.
Clark Kent.
No, the Clark Kent one, like I said, I don't hear that one much anymore, which is perfectly fine with me, I suppose.
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment. I mean, Superman. let's talk about the Clark Kents that have been playing. I mean, Dean Cain and Christopher Reeve, some decent-looking dudes.
Yep.
I don't see.
No,
it.
How
it looks like
how?
That, yes.
I don't see.
I don't.
It.
Yeah. I
used to do my hair like
you're
that.
You're on drugs.
I told Mateo. Mateo said yes. That is true.
Nah.
Yeah.
I'll do my hair like that tomorrow. Okay. Series, so. I'll dye it blonde and everything. Just give me two championship rings too.
Seven. If you count as a
player. Well, as a coach.
Yeah.
As a coach.
I gotta ask you this. You said it the other day on your podcast. Tom Brady lost two Super Bowls.
Uh-huh.
How could he be considered the greatest?
Because he's won five and he's been to seven and he's been to how many consecutive AFC Championship games?
Yeah, six.
He's never had a Pro Bowl core of wide receivers. His offensive scheme.
I think Tom Brady's the greatest.
His receivers were like Edelman, a lacrosse player.
Hogan.
Like,
I got called once to play wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, you probably succeeded. I mean,
but now we finally got, he's got Brandon Cooks now this year. Mm-hmm.
So that was the year they lost the Super Bowl. They had Randy Moss, and then they had Chad Johnson.
Well, I know. I'm just saying.
At that point, he's
a real receiver this year. Mm-hmm. Well, and Edelman's amazing now.
I think too, the argument against Brady's he's a product of the system. Well, who got lauded for modernizing the NFL? The West Coast offense. Mm-hmm. That was Bill Walsh. Well,
yeah, that's right.
Right. With Bill Walsh, 49ers, was up with the Niners, mm-hmm. and he helped Montana out. Mm-hmm. But Montana also had Hall of Famers all around him.
Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
John Taylor. Roger Clark. Dwight Clark.
Yeah.
So you can't argue. Yeah, against
I think
that.
Brady's the greatest.
And I'm 14 episodes in, and the name Tom Brady has been mentioned every single one.
I'm buying the new Madden just so I can get a poster of his.
Oh yeah. You got a pre-order, or is it with you?
I'm gonna ask GameStop if they do poster. They probably will. I guarantee it. I'm gonna buy the GOAT edition, $80, and have Tom Brady in my room.
Anthony, what's your Twitter handle?
It's Kudari, AKHOUDARI, but you could find me Lebanon James. That's my username.
Where else?
That's it. I'm off social media.
That's it. When's that mixtape? I'm low key. When's that rap album drop?
Next month.
David, where are you at?
Twitter, at DavyLester2016.
Okay. All right, guys. Listen, so I had fun. I want to not talk. I want this to be you guys' thing. You guys definitely carry this. People are tired of me.
I'm not tired.
I had a lot of fun with this. I hope you guys had some fun. I hope the listeners have some good feedback for us. Reach out to David, reach out to Anthony. Let us know what you thought, and they'll be back for other shows, and I'll stay out of their way. And you guys, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, sincerest apologies to Michael Bay. You're not all that bad of a guy to me, but if you ever want to come on the show and defend yourself, let me know, menasale@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at FNGeese. But anyways, David, Anthony, thank you for stopping by. I had fun doing this. I hope you guys had fun listening to it. I got to get ready to evaluate my draft as a 2-time championship-winning head coach of the Golden State Warriors. This is Steve Kerr thanking you. Tune in next time, and thanks.